Hi, and welcome to the 43rd episode of the Language Mandarins podcast. My name is Jonathan, and today I'm going to talk a little bit about discipline, routine, fatigue, and procrastination. And this is based on a question I received in the Add One Challenge Facebook group. This comes from one of the participants. Her name is Blessy, and she says, "I'm so impressed by your discipline and to maintain your routine. I was wondering how you can overcome the desire to postpone making the video or to say to yourself that today it doesn't matter if I don't study or I'm too tired to do my 30-minute lesson." This is in response to the fact that I have been making YouTube videos for the past about 14 days or so. From day 7 to up until at least now of like day 24 in the Add One Challenge. And each day I'm trying to make an effort to speak in Russian on a video for at least like 5 to 15 minutes whenever possible. Like a little bit, as if I can speak more, that's better. But the reason why I decided to do this each day was to hold myself accountable, and not just to myself, but to the community, and to say that my motivation for learning a language is also to hopefully inspire other learners to want to hold themselves accountable and to stay focused, because that's one of the things that really inspired me that Brian Kwong told me in his interview, and that I've heard him talk about this and in other opportunities where he talks about the origin of the Add One Challenge, in that when he was participating in the Fluent in 3 Months group organized by Benny Lewis, he was saying that whenever he would lose focus or motivation, he would check in with another learner, and apparently the same learner was doing the same thing. When that person was needing some motivation, they would go check out Brian's progress. And at the end of the challenge, when Brian said, "Hey, thanks for keeping me motivated," the person was saying, "Well, seriously, like, it was the opposite. You were keeping me motivated." So I really connected with that idea of, if I put in my work and I commit to doing a little bit, at least, of the video, and to say, okay, it's possible, I can do this, I can put in 10 minutes, even if I am tired. I have 2 children, I have a 3-year-old, I have a 1-year-old. The moment they get home in the afternoon from about 2 p.m. until they go to bed at 8 p.m., it's just very hands-on, being with them, playing with them, spending time. So any pending projects that I may have wanted to be doing, those get put on hold until they go to sleep. And then I'm frantically trying to do different things online to study languages, network with language learners and teachers, and do all of that stuff, and still put in the time for practicing the language. Today, for example, with one native speaker, we made a video that was about 40 minutes in Russian, and we were talking about a specific topic and trying to determine what vocabulary I was missing and what expressions I need to learn. And then I also did a 1-hour lesson with an offline teacher. So again, I put in the time to be practicing the language, studying it with a teacher, and also with a native speaker, and not being afraid to speak, even though I make lots of mistakes. And I'm trying to turn that opportunity of making videos into a course to help people learn Russian by making a video of myself speaking and contacting native speakers and teachers. It's just more and more opportunities to get feedback on how I'm doing and to just make sure that I put in the work, because I know people are starting to get used to these videos and expect them, and I don't want to let myself down, and I don't want to let other people down. And yes, I do get tired, just like everybody else. So yeah, having kids and having work responsibilities because I'm trying to work as hard as I can to promote the language teaching and language coaching business that I've been working on for the past 2 months. And I'm doing maybe really long hours of working from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. when the kids get home. And then by the time they go to bed, from 8 or 9 o'clock, and maybe going to bed at maybe 1 a.m., 2 a.m., depending on what projects I'm trying to work on, or I'm editing audio for a podcast. There's really long hours. I'm putting in a lot of hours for a lot of projects, and they are little by little coming to fruition. And there are times when I say, okay, I'm too tired. I would just like to go to bed, but I realize that I don't have time to waste right now. If I want to get the results that are going to be effective and to help me get to where I want to be tomorrow, I don't have any time to waste. So there is no time to procrastinate. I've seen things in philosophy and in books on self-help and saying, like, if you don't have any time today, how are you certain that tomorrow you're going to have more time? So if the routine just repeats itself, there's no guarantee that you'll be able to have a do-over the next day. And I mentioned this when the Add One Challenge started. In the previous challenge I was working on, where we used a spreadsheet and to put in the hours that we did per day, it was, if I said I was going to do 60 minutes per day, and for some reason I did 45 minutes instead of 60, I was led to believe that maybe tomorrow I'll do 75 minutes and then I'll be even. And in the Add One Challenge, it's just yes or no. Did you put in the time? Yes or no? And that simple question just, it triggered something for me to say, am I going to commit to this? I'm not committing to it on a weekly basis. I'm committing to this on a daily basis. So I have to put in the work each day, because each day counts for something. I can't be making empty promises to myself for the next day or the day after that. It's just so unpredictable. And to really make it work, I have to schedule an appointment with myself and say, okay, at this hour, I'm studying my target language and no interruptions. And just be really committed to those self appointments. It's really easy to put it in the calendar, and then for some reason a student says, oh, can we meet at that time? And there is a temptation to say, yes, of course. But it really is important to respect those self appointments, to say, okay, this is time that I need to spend on my hobbies, on my interests, and on things that I need to get done. So if I don't respect those commitments, how can I expect other people to respect commitments as well? So I think that's one of the reasons why I kind of really force myself to do this each day. And making recordings, and it's a small part of the routine. It's maybe 10 minutes. And for some language learners, I see that they make an effort to put in the time at the beginning of the day, instead of waiting for time at the end of the day when they're really tired and they just want to go to sleep. They don't want to focus. I've listened to Ollie Richards talk about this in a lot of his video series with his speaking boot camp and the Language Learning Foundations, and just you get a better sense of satisfaction when you start the day off well by working on your goals and working on your study routine. And then the rest of the day, you're happy, you did something, you have a check on your list to say, okay, I did that, what next am I going to do? So those are some of the reasons why I forced myself to commit. And some days it has been a struggle. I think the first week I was overcommitting and trying to do a lot of stuff. And I think there's one of the pictures that shows me with these huge bags under my eyes. And I got really poor sleep because I was up late editing audio for a podcast. Each day I kind of learned to manage my routine a little bit better and tweak it and figure out, okay, this didn't work yesterday. How about I try this? How about I change the study time? I make it earlier. How about instead of trying to make it longer, how about I make it shorter and make it more effective? And then how about I study another one later on in the day and see if I can make that one like a review of what I did earlier. So each day I'm just kind of tweaking the routine, and I'm sitting down and making a list of what are a few things I should work on with the language learning, with the target language. And I'm asking native speakers and teachers feedback on, well, what is it that you think I should work on? And they're starting to reveal the same comments. So with the Russian language, the stress patterns with the words is kind of unpredictable. So I need to work on that. And luckily, the glossika sentences that we work with include the word stress. I need to review the case endings. So because Russian has six cases and that works for the nouns and the adjectives, I have to review those endings because quite often I have to sit for a couple seconds and reflect on, well, what is the genitive feminine singular for this noun and then this adjective? And I think the program that I wrote, the web app that I wrote, does a good job of testing and drilling those case endings. I just have to be more committed about using my own program on a regular basis and make sure I include that more in my routine. And there's also, along with the case endings, the verb conjugations, because I have a tendency to just speak in present tense or to only use the imperfective verbs in the future or the past. And that really makes some strange sentences sometimes, because it's important to know the perfective aspect of the verbs. But that's getting into really tiny details in the Russian language and the Russian grammar. But I do struggle with those aspects of the language. Early on in my routine, I would say, yes, there are times when I just don't feel like studying or I'm too tired. But then I remember, okay, there's a community of people out there who are going to be checking in on me and holding me accountable. So that really helps me commit, because there's a book Kirsten Cable and Lindsay Dow talked about with Gretchen Rubin with her book, and about the tendencies for learning. One of the personalities and tendencies was an obliger, a upholder, a rebel, and a questioner. And I think I identify more with the obliger, in terms of if there are external commitments, external factors that kind of put pressure on me, I respond more to those. So, and I have difficulties with respecting my own routines and my own projects. So one way to help me stay accountable is to tell other people about my plans and to involve other people in my projects, so that I'm not just letting myself down and nobody's going to find out about it. But if other people know that I'm planning to do something, they're going to ask me questions later on and say, well, give us an update. How did it go? Or what progress have you made on that? So that really does force me to stay focused with the language learning. And it's something that I really try to encourage my students to do as well, to make an effort to maybe record themselves speaking each day, or at least to write some text each day, so they can, if they want to practice their writing. And a little bit each day really goes a long way. I'm starting to realize this, that these videos and the practice that a lot of the practice that I'm getting each day, it is starting to sink in. I am starting to speak a little bit faster. I'm connecting the dots a little faster. I'm even speaking in Russian when I'm not speaking Russian. So I might be in the middle of speaking in Spanish, and then I might say something like "Estoy rabotando." So I'm kind of mixing the verb to work, rabotat, in Russian, and then I'm actually even conjugating it according to Spanish grammar to say that I'm working as a rabotat, rabotando. So crazy things can happen when you start to focus on a language. It starts to permeate into other speaking opportunities that were not intended for it. So it seems to kind of like ice or water that kind of creeps into the foundation of a building and then expands and fills crevices and areas where you didn't expect it to happen. And I look over at something, and instead of saying ¿qué es eso? Like, what is that? I look at it and say ¿что это? And I say something in Russian. So little by little, my top of mind is becoming Russian for some situations. And I think that's kind of cool. That means I'm spending a lot of time with the language, spending a significant amount, and it is starting to connect. So each day I'm trying to either work with a teacher or work with a language exchange partner. And this assignment number two, this challenge to like speak at least three times, I think I've done that within 2 days. It's a small start. Each time I kind of reach a goal and I'm able to do that, and I get even more confident, and the limits that I kind of self-imposed, they seem to just disappear, and then I just want to keep going and I don't want to stop. This excuse of like I'm tired, I don't think about that anymore. I say like, well, everybody's tired. I'm tired no matter what happens because I have kids. So saying that I'm tired, well, how many parents, working parents, single parents are out there, well, like really busting their chops to take care of their families, do their job, and spend time with their kids, and also have hobbies and interests. And those people inspire me to want to stay focused because, yeah, I'm tired, I have kids, I have work, I have family. Those aren't really valid excuses because there's a lot of people out there who have kids and families and jobs, and they still accomplish a lot of awesome things. So that's one thing that helps keep me focused and motivated. And the prospect of perhaps winning a plane ticket to Russia, I've suddenly become just obsessed with that idea. And each day when I wake up and I say, okay, I'm going to learn Russian because I want to win a plane ticket. And it's not just the fact that I want to win a plane ticket. It's, okay, there's so many people who have been helping me in Moscow and St. Petersburg, and I've been networking with a lot of native speakers, and there's a lot of people in different learning communities where I participate with Russian speakers, and it would be so awesome to meet some of those people. And if I meet them, well, I need to be able to speak with them and to be able to carry on a conversation with them. So I just, in my head, I already see myself winning, and I see myself already visiting the country, and that mental image is really powerful, and that's what really helps me stay focused. Is I'm so determined that I want to make that dream happen. I want to win that plane ticket. I want to visit Russia. I want to see all these people who have been helping me and asking me, how is your Russian going? And so I think it would be so awesome if I could make that happen. And that's why I don't let any excuses like I'm tired or I don't feel like it And so I do whatever I can as if my study routine just like it fully depended on, like, it was so sacred and fragile that I have to protect it at all cost, as if like I was holding on to like a football and running down the field, and I didn't want anybody to kind of come close and like get their hands on whatever it is that like I am so determined to work on this that nothing's gonna be an obstacle, nothing's gonna get in my way, and I'm just gonna keep going down the field and not stop until I get there. So it the first week, the first couple days, it is challenging to force yourself to create a routine and stick to it. But if you do a little bit today, and then you a little bit more the next day, and then you get a success, you get a win, and your confidence starts to build, you don't want to stop. This idea of like, I'm tired, it really does not matter. If, I mean, if you find something that's really interesting that you really love doing, it doesn't matter if you're tired. You're gonna give you're so focused and motivated to keep going that you might get so immersed in that topic that you suddenly look over at the clock and you're like, oh my gosh, it's 2 in the morning. How much time have I been doing this? I love doing this. Okay, I need to go get some sleep. At that point, yeah, you're tired, but not like you're physically tired, but not necessarily mentally tired. So you really need to incorporate things that you love doing, that really make you passionate about the language, and remind you of why you're studying that language and what you love about that language. And so some people have like a visual board where they pin pictures or they pin documents or print out an email or a message or something, and that will really help them stay focused. Those are some really good ideas because the brain is really, it works with visual images. So if you can hold on to those images and convince your brain to kind of focus on those images, especially if you envision yourself being successful at your project, then those are some really valuable and efficient ways to keep working on language learning. And so, yes, okay, I do struggle with it some days, but I'm so determined, I'm so motivated to win that I'm not going to give up. And an interview I did like a week ago, they were telling me winners never quit and quitters never win. So that's one of the reasons why I just don't give up, because I say, okay, no matter what, if I'm tired, I'm still going to do this work because I don't want to give up. I want to do a little bit each day, and I want to see the benefits, and I want to see the progress, and I can't really see that progress if I don't put in a little bit each day. So that's why I really am staying focused and continuing to do these videos. And basically, I'm going to continue doing these videos. Today is day 24. I'm going to keep doing this until day 90. And even if I do reach day 90, I'm somewhat obsessive to think about, well, maybe I'll just keep going with them and just make this my thing that I just each day I make a short video in YouTube. And so that might be like a thing, like to see how long I can do this and maybe track my progress over not just 90 days. Maybe what if I commit to this to a longer period? Maybe 90 days becomes just a very short period. What if I keep going? So, but to make that happen, I have to do a little bit of work each day. It's a similar thing with this podcast that I'm doing this Monday to Friday. That's an insane amount of podcasts because most people, they like one every 2 weeks. And even then, that's kind of a bit of a stretch because of the audio editing, the software, the coordinating with interviews and creating show notes. And And I'm trying to do this each day. So my learning curve has been very steep, and I've been learning a lot about podcasting because this is like the 43rd one. And so I've learned a lot through mistakes and through practice. And it's the same thing with these videos, that I learn a lot through making my mistakes, and I learn a lot through just doing it each day, as opposed to where, I mean, like, there is a day zero video, there's a day 30 video, a day 60 video, a day 90 video, but I just felt like personally that was not enough to really see my progress happen on a daily basis. Like when I see my kids grow up, I don't necessarily see it each day. I know other people, when they see the kids, they say, oh, I haven't seen them in like a month. Oh my gosh, they've grown up. They're getting so big. They're speaking well, and they're walking, and those kinds of observations. But when you are able to see those changes on a daily basis, and you could record it or take pictures or something like that, it's really cool when you look back at it later, because you can go back and pinpoint, yeah, that day, that's the day I learned such and such. And right now in my Russian, I can go back and listen to these videos and say, yeah, that is the day I had that lesson with that teacher who taught me the difference between bolye and bolshe. And then after that conversation, I confirmed it with another speaker. And then I confirmed it again. And then finally, I made that kind of aha moment, and like, okay, I learned something, and I got this confirmed by talking to native speakers and teachers. So now I'm going to start using it in my vocabulary and in my speaking. And then those little moments of success, they just start to accumulate and accumulate. And at some point, I am speaking the language. That's my goal, is to just really arrive at that level as quickly as possible. So I'm really motivated to keep going with these videos. And I think I'm going to get there. A lot of people tell me, like, you keep doing this, you keep practicing, keep doing these exercises, keep writing, keep speaking. I'm fairly confident you're going to get there very soon. So those comments really keep me motivated. And that's why I don't want to give up as well. It's just, I'm getting those wins, I'm getting those successes, and I'm getting that positive feedback. And it's really addictive, almost, to the point of, okay, why do I want to stop? I mean, being tired, being busy, those just don't get in the way anymore. It's this, like, I would be crazy to stop is now the tipping point. Like, there's so much momentum going that I don't want to stop. So that's why I really enjoy these videos and enjoy the feedback and the comments. And I hope this really long and developed answer, I hope that helps inspire some people and helps them kind of connect with what their goal is and why they want to study a language and how they can stay focused and stay committed and just put in the time each day, and the progress will come. If you put in the work, and you'll make progress. So with that said, if you'd like to take an English lesson with me or hear more about my language Mandarins, you can visit my website at hugginsinternational.com. That's H-U-G-G-I-N-S international.com. Or you can send me an email at hugginsinternational@gmail.com. Thank you very much for listening to this podcast, and I look forward to the next one. Take care.